The first thing Satan wants to do is to get us to doubt. That's why I appreciate Deacon Cephas's admonition during the prayer of praise this morning, that one of the things that Satan wants to do is come among believers and cause confusion and cause disturbances and get you to doubt, get you to begin to, well, we can't do that. Well, what are you asking us to do? That just seems to be there's too much involved in that. So we begin to doubt God and his word. But when you have faith and you trust in God, all doubt is removed. You might question as to when it's going to happen. You might have questions as to how it's going to happen, but we should never doubt what it is that God has told us to do.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series on spiritual warfare, looking for a reason to fight, with the first half of The Helmet of Salvation. So please open your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 14, as we join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Helmet of Salvation.
Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. As we have moved our way through the armor, we have gone through the girdle of truth and talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We described what it meant to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We looked at the shield of faith. And today we have come to the next piece of armor in the believer's armor, and that is the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Satan, the skeptic. As we think about the helmet of salvation, the aspect this morning we want to focus on is Satan the skeptic. We've looked at the devil as being a liar. We've looked at him as being a deceiver. We looked at him as being our adversary. But this morning we want to look at his attack specifically as a skeptic. The devil is a skeptic, and he allures others into his skepticism, especially when it comes to the things of God. He wants the believer to doubt God and his word. He particularly wants the child of God to struggle in the area of salvation. Because if he can get you to struggle in the area of salvation, he got you. Because how can you go forth and do battle the way that God wants you to do battle if you're struggling with your salvation? And so Satan is a skeptic. He puts thoughts in our minds that makes us doubt God, his word, makes us doubt what it is that we should be about as Christians. As a matter of fact, to prove my point, open to the third chapter of the book of Genesis. The third chapter of the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 3, we all know the story, and we've read it before, deals with the fall of man. And we see two things about Satan in this passage. And the first thing that Satan wants to do is to get us to question God and his word. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat every tree of the garden. So what was he doing right there? He was trying to get her to question God's word. And so when people question the word of God, let me just tell you where that comes from. That comes directly from Satan. Now, we know we have an admonition in the New Testament where it talks about the Bereans.
And it said the Bereans were more noble than anybody else because what did they do? They heard the things that Paul said, and then they went and they studied them to see whether or not they were true. So there's nothing wrong with studying the word to verify the message and the messenger. But once we do that, all questions in our mind should be settled. And if we continue to question the veracity, the truthfulness, the fact that this is the word of God, if we question that, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. Some of y'all not going to like this, but that comes right from the devil. When we continue to question God's word, that comes right from the devil. We should study it. We should understand it. We should grab a hold of it. And then once we do that, let us stand on the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The Bible. Satan wants us to question God's word. And then the second thing we see in this passage is that Satan wants us to doubt God's word. Look at verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of every fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Notice the two things he did. He tried to get them to question God's word. He tried to get them to doubt God's word. God leads us as believers as we look at moving ahead. The vision that God has given us, the things that God has led us to do. The first thing Satan wants to do is to get us to doubt. That's why I appreciate Deacon Cephas's admonition during the prayer of praise this morning. That one of the things that Satan wants to do is come among believers and cause confusion and cause disturbances and get you to doubt. Get you to begin to, well, we can't do that. Well, what are you asking us to do? That just seems to be too, there's too much involved in that. So we begin to doubt God and his word. But when you have faith and you trust in God, all doubt is removed. You might question as to when it's going to happen. You might have questions as to how it's going to happen. But we should never doubt what it is that God has told us to do. And when we have continuous questions about God and his word, and we have continuous doubt about God and his word, that comes directly from Satan. And so Satan is a skeptic. And the only way that we can stand against his attacks of skepticism in our lives, because they're going to come, is to put on this helmet of salvation. And when you've got the helmet of salvation, you're able to stand against the skeptical attacks of the devil. The helmet of the Roman soldier. The Roman soldier had a bronze helmet with a leather strap on it. Some of the helmets were made of thick leather covered with metal plates, and others were made of heavy molded metal. Most helmets had cheek pieces to protect the sides of the face, and others had visors which could be pulled down to protect the whole face. So some of the helmets, you had the cheek piece so that I guess if you got attacked from the side and you got hit in the side of the face, it would block the side hit. And some helmets had the little visor that you could flip up and then you could pull it down over your face, and all you had was little slits in there to look, be able to look out through. So this was the construction of the helmet. We go on to see that it was usually adorned with some figure or designed in different shapes and sizes. This helped to identify the ranks within the army and helped soldiers to be able to tell the difference between fellow soldiers and enemy combatants. The helmet was also polished to a fine, glossy finish so that the blows of the sword and other battle weapons would slide off upon contact. That's the helmet of salvation. And we're going to see a little bit more about that in a second. What was the purpose of the helmet? The purpose of the helmet was to protect the head from injury or a fatal death blow. As we look at the three points in our message today, we see the nobility of the helmet, the need for the helmet, and the nature of the helmet. The first thing that I want to share with you is the nobility of the helmet. First of all, the helmet identified the king that you represented.
The helmet had a design, or it had some type of identity that showed you who you were fighting for. Some of them had a plume that was in the middle. Others had little designs engraved on the side, but there was no mistake about it that when you were out there, that you could identify who that person was fighting for by the design of the helmet. The Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ. That when you go forth in the battle, you are representing God. That the design on your helmet shows that you are on the battlefield for the Lord. Oh, I like the song. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Your helmet represents the army that you are fighting for. And as Christians, we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the nobility of the helmet. The helmet protected the head, which controlled the rest of the body. Just think about this, that if I can knock your head out, that's it for you. If I can land a death blow to your head, the battle is over for you. Because your head controls everything else. That's why Jesus said this. He said, if your eye is filled with darkness, so is the rest of your body. But if your eye is filled with light, then your whole body is filled with light. And what God is telling us here about this helmet, that if we've got the helmet on, our head is protected so that when Satan begins to pound on the helmet, when he begins to deliver those blows against the head, that you'll be able to stand because your head is protected. Because just believe this, as goes the head, so goes the rest of the body. And if your head is damaged, your body is damaged. The third thing we see about the nobility of the helmet is that the helmet was polished with oil. That they would get this helmet and they would shine this helmet up. Just shine it. Put some oil on it and just shine it so that the helmet was slick and so that it was glossy. So that whenever, they had those war clubs, guys riding on horses with war clubs and swords, just trying to hit the soldiers on the ground, trying to hit them on the head. And whenever they hit them, it would just slide right off. God has anointed us with the Holy Spirit. God has given us an anointing that is able us that whenever Satan delivers his blows, it's able to slide right off. The nobility of the helmet identified the king you represented. It protected the head, which controlled the rest of the body. And it was polished with oil and caused the blows to the head to slide off. Now we look at the need for the helmet. The need for the helmet. The first reason that we need the helmet is because we need to be protected against the satanic blow of deception. The devil wants to deceive us. He wants to deceive us in many ways. He wants to deceive some folk and make them think that they don't sin. That I'm all right. You're all right. And people go around thinking, well, why do I need to confess? Why do I need to tell God that I'm wrong in this area? So the devil deceives us. He also deceives us sometimes into thinking that we're something that we're not. The devil deceives people sometimes by getting them involved in a religion that, I don't understand how that people can get caught up in some things that are clearly filled with error, that are filled with deception and filled with lies. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and say it this morning. I don't see how anybody, and once again, I know I'll probably get in trouble, not from good Bethany members and fellow Christians, but maybe from somebody else, maybe from some of your relatives I'll get in trouble. But I don't see how anybody could be a Jehovah's Witness. I just don't see it. First of all, the organization, they done found so many, got caught up in so many lies, done changed so many things, but yet and still, man, people will stand out on the corner and hand out magazines because they've been deceived. And not even once you get into the doctrine and you start seeing all these errors in doctrine. That I don't even want to get into it. Just all the craziness about blood transfusion and holidays and all this other stuff. But people are just caught up and they're deceived. And so we see here that Satan does a good job of hitting some against the head with the blow of deception. We see guys out on the corner selling bean pies, wearing bow ties, and promoting the big lies that are caught up in deception. You know, I did a lesson for the youth at the youth retreat, and one of the things that I did, it was on world religions, and I was trying to figure out, man, that's a big subject to tackle. And basically, what we did is we started out and said that all religions fit into one of three categories. They're either atheistic, believe in no God, polytheistic, believe in many gods, or monotheistic, believe in one God. Well, this took me a long time to do, so I can't do it this morning. But we knocked out atheism right away. I mean, from a logical standpoint and from a biblical standpoint. The fool has said in his heart there's no God. So that was knocked out. We knocked out polytheism from a logical standpoint, from a biblical standpoint. Polytheism. You can't have polytheism and have an ultimate God. Because if you got a whole lot of gods, then you don't have a God. You got a lot of superpowers, you got a lot of superheroes, but you don't have one God. So we knock out polytheism. So when you knock it down, there's only three choices left: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And then when you begin to reason through that, my conclusion is that Christianity makes the best sense. Christianity is the only thing that provides a savior for a man who is helpless to save himself. That all the good that we can do that the other two religions promote, you know, live right, do right, all the good that we can do, just think about all the good. Think about all the good things that you've ever done for anybody. Think about all the nice Christmas presents that you've given and people smiled when they gave you that, when they got that Christmas present. Think about all the deeds of charity that you've ever done and people smiled when they got that, received that charity. And then think about some of the things that you thought about last week. I would hate to have to depend upon my righteousness getting me to heaven, because I do a lot of good things, but I know sometimes, man, you know, evil, what did Paul say? When I want to do good, evil is present within me. So that would just cancel out all the good that I did. All that good that you did, I told y'all last week, I said something to somebody that I shouldn't have said. Now, that didn't. I went and visited somebody in the hospital and prayed with them. As soon as I said that, what I said to that person, you know what? That hospital visit was canceled out. Canceled out. I mean, if I believe that, right? If I believe that my good is going to get me in, then that means that the bad is going to be weighed against me too. So any good that I do, whenever I do bad, is canceled out. Thank God for Christianity. Because it's not dependent on me. It's dependent on him. And I know that Jesus Christ paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So that's why I say Satan has deceived a lot of folks that are out there today. They've been deceived to believe a lie. The second thing that we need the helmet, the second reason we need the helmet, to protect against the blow of doubt. Look at Job chapter 2, to protect against the blow of doubt. And we all know the history of the story. Satan came to attack Job and took his family, his possessions, and even his health. And then look at verse 9 of Job chapter 2. What does Satan, what is his objective? His objective is to get us to doubt God. And here we see the attack came through Job's wife. Verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. What was she trying to get him to do? What if Job would have did what she said? Then he would have been doubting God. He would have said, well, you know what, maybe you're right, man. You know, before it just seemed like God was in control and we had all these blessings and our life was blessed and we had children and we had possessions and I had my health and now all that's gone. I really wonder if there's a God. I really wonder what God is doing. And I like what Job said. Job said, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we receive not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin
with his lips. Back when I was doing the study, when the movie The Da Vinci Code came out, there was an article that I was reading, and it was from the Radio Bible class. Somebody had emailed the people at the Radio Bible class, and this is what this person said. Dear RBC, I don't know where else to turn. I pray to God that you can help me. I began to read the book by Dan Brown called The Da Vinci Code. It was an interesting book until I got to the part where he's talking about how Christianity began and how it's all false, and that Christianity is basically a lie and stolen from pagan religions. The secret societies, the Holy Grail, the church changing facts, removing parts of the Bible, is it all true? So much of it makes sense. There were things that I had heard before and ignored, but now I have to know. In the last 25 years, I've been a Christian, and it seems like it was all a lie. Was Jesus just a man? Did it all really happen? Was he married to Mary Magdalene? Is everything I was raised to believe just made up for the sake of money? I have to know. I don't know where else to turn. Now I'm doubting if there's a heaven, if there's a God, if there's a Jesus. Please help me. Please. In God's name, help me. I'm brokenhearted, confused, and still crying. Now what? The helmet of salvation, what does it do? It protects against the blows of doubt. That whenever you have the helmet on, Satan is going to hit you just like he hit this lady. Well, you know what? You've been a Christian all these years. You should be further along than you are. You know, why? How come you're sick now? You know, everybody else that's unsaved, you know, they got their health. They're serving God. How come you're sick? How come it seems like you're struggling in your life when everybody else is blessed? You know, what does Satan do? He wants to bombard your mind with thoughts that put the doubt about God, about his word in your mind. And that's what happened to this lady right here. He hit her, and he hit her hard. She needed the helmet of salvation. She needed the helmet of salvation. And then it's to protect against the blow of doctrine. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. The need for the helmet. Why do you need this helmet? 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Satan wants to blow you away doctrinally. My brothers and sisters, that's why I'm here to say, make your calling and election sure. Be sure that you are sure that you are saved. Be sure that you are sure that you are born again. Before you go, young people, before you go off to somebody's college, get with these, you know, you had the pastor standing up here this morning, associate ministers. You got great Sunday school teachers, KUC teachers. Get with them and find out what the Trinity is. Find out that the Trinity is one God in three persons, co-equal, co-eternal, and coexisting. Find out about the Trinity. Before you go off to somebody's college, find out who Jesus Christ is. Find out that he's not only the Son of God, but he's God the Son. Before you go to somebody's college, find out about the Word of God. Find out that the Word of God is the book of God. As I always say, the Bible must have been inspired of God and not of men. I could not if I wouldn't.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Helmet of Salvation. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Helmet of Salvation, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Helmet of Salvation. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Helmet of Salvation. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.